Hello.
Hello?
Brother, yes, sir. I hear you. I was trying to put you on the other speaker so I could hear you on. I hear you. Yes, sir. Good morning.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Rahmatullah. Rabarakatu. You in, brother. We on live and direct. I was going over that case, Ben, that you had shot me some time back, and I really been looking at it and dissecting it because it's really everything what I've been trying to teach and show, especially, you know, dealing with us and dealing with our family and then the extended family and showing us that we not these, we keep signing these labels saying that we black or so forth on these labels.
You,
but that case.
You mean the clip I sent you about we the original Aboriginal?
No, the case out of Oklahoma you sent me about.
Oh, the Oklahoma case. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Flashing on the news, they had to let five more. Well, they got to let everybody out of jail because white folk didn't have no jurisdiction on Indian land to do anything. And matter of fact, they so scared because all the water rights and everything belong to them now. So they got them going crazy.
Now, listen to me, Black America.
They got them going crazy. They can't even do nothing.
Now
they have to let them out of jail.
You see how Allah works? You see how the universe works now? You see that case. Now, that case is directly what I've been telling you about, what I've been feeding you about nationality. That pertains to you and I. So when we see this case going on, and we keep saying all these years, everybody in the black, so-called black community been saying, oh, I got Indian in here. They know that the family roots got what you call so-called Indian, because that's a misnomer too. That name is bogus too, right? So if you just check your history, this case pertains to you because the five civilized tribes were all ran into Oklahoma. So if you was, no matter what state you, if you was in Georgia, Alabama, like my family come from Georgia. If you was in Georgia, Alabama, the states where they ran you out, if you, the five tribes are all conjoined in Oklahoma. So the case, so I had pulled the case up. I wanted to share with y'all real fast some real quick highlights of what it said, because like I said, you got to get this information for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. I'll direct you to it, and then you can do just like I did. Google, download, go to law, Library of Congress, set up your account, download and read it for yourself. But the case is McGirt versus Oklahoma, and in short, this is what it says. It says, the Major Crimes Act, MCA, provides that within the Indian country, in quotes, any Indian who commits certain enumerated offenses, we heard that language before, shall be subject to the same law and penalties as all other persons. Listen, there go that word, persons. We had a whole show dealing with the word persons, and I'm going to show you how this ties in. Committing any of those offenses within the exclusive jurisdiction of the United States, 18 U.S.C., Section 1153A. Indian country includes all land within the limits of any Indian reservation under the jurisdiction of the United States government. So, see, listen, this dealing with jurisdiction, so that's what all this is about. Now, watch how it's a breakdown. This is what the court decided. The court decision said, on the far end of the Trail of Tears was a promise. Forced to leave their ancestral lands in Georgia and Alabama, the Creek Nation received assurances that their new lands in the West would be secure forever. In exchange for ceding all their land east of the Mississippi River, the U.S. government agreed by treaty that the Creek country west of the Mississippi shall be solemnly guaranteed to the Creek Indians. Okay? It says, the government further promised that no state or territory shall ever have a right to pass laws for the government of such Indians, but they should be allowed to govern themselves. See, this dealing with self-governance, jurisdiction, this dealing with citizenship, status, and jurisdiction, folks. That's what this is about, and you need to understand that. So when you keep tying onto these labels, and what saves this is, they're on the reservation, but they're still calling them Indians, which is the tag that they're coining. That's why they're on the reservation by treaty, so they still engage up some of your sovereign rights or privileges. You feel me? But This is cases about all of us. This is a 14th Amendment citizen. Listen what it says. It says persons. It says Major Crimes Act provides that within the Indian country, any Indian who commits certain enumerated offenses shall be subject to the same law and penalty as all other persons. Bam, stop right there, because I want to teach y'all. You got to go back into the archives. We had a show. We did the word persons. Here it is from the Law Dictionary, Black's Law Dictionary, 7th edition. Person, one, a human being. Two, an entity such as a corporation that is recognized by law as having the rights and duties of as a human being. Artificial person, an entity such as a corporation created by law, given certain legal rights and duties of a human being, a being real or imaginary, who for the purpose of legal reasoning is treated more or less as a human being. And then the other one is natural person, a human being as distinguished from an artificial person created by law. So they keep using this word person. The 14th Amendment said all persons born is a person's automatic citizens. But what kind of citizenship are they talking about? Now, that's where you intercede, brother, because you just sent me a thing that said the United States is a corporation.
I just want to interject here. Just like when you make a statement about something or you say something, can I go do the research and find it?
You sure do.
It's there. You just gotta find it. Now, I would have never even looked for those things if I hadn't interacted with you on certain conversations, and then I go to research that stuff and look, there it is right there, exactly what you told me. And I like the way they put it. They put it really clear for you to see. You know. Go ahead. I just wanted to interject the fact that when you tell people, you know, go look it up yourself. Don't believe me. Go look it up yourself. Find it. If you don't believe me, go find it.
So for us, we was made citizens, folks. The 13th Amendment abolished the institution of slavery. So that means all the tags that came with slavery was out. The master slave names, all that Negro and stuff. You wasn't a Negro before slavery. You wasn't a black, a colored. You wasn't an Afro-American. Those are terms, you got a pedigree and a bloodline. So that was their trick right there. They abolished the institution of slavery, so all the slave names were out. We were so hit upside the head that we didn't identify and just proclaim who we were. That was the power of proclamation and what it is. So the 14th Amendment, all of a sudden, 3 years later, it says, this is in the Constitution, this is the 14th Amendment, 1868, 3 years after the abolishment of slavery, the institution of slavery. It says Section 1, Amendment 14, all persons, there you go, born or naturalized. Now, naturalized is a system that to get U.S. citizenship, what you got to go through. But the Negro, the black, the colored, the African American didn't have to go through that. Okay. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the states wherein they reside. So they just, you made a citizen. You're a 14th Amendment citizen. What does that entail? That's what you need to find out in. What is a 14th Amendment citizen? Because a U.S. citizen, if the United States is a corporation, they would be safe to assume that a U.S. citizen could be some type of corporate person. And we just read the definition of what an artificial person is. See, they use in language, all persons. And you just think because you know what the word person means, yeah, it just told you in a dictionary, even a law dictionary just told you the first definition of person was a human being. Yeah, that's what Mr. Webster has taught us. We all know that. But then we go on. Remember, we're dealing with law. They over here by legal agreements, by charters. Man, they're a corporation, man. A U.S. citizen is an artificial person, man. Yeah, that's what that's about. So that's what we need to understand. That's holding us back. Understand that people say, oh, the slave name, the last name that you got, even if it was from the European, that was a free European name. He free. It was just showing that you was on his property and that you was his damn property. That's it. It's a free name. That's why you annex your tribal name onto that. That ain't no problem. The slave name is Negro, Black, Colored. Them things that keep changing, Afro-American, African-American, White, Indian. You know, they get Hispanic. They start changing these things. They start changing these names around. I mean, Hispanic, they're dealing with Hispanolia. But then you got a person that's from Mexico that think they're different from somebody from San Juan or the Dominican over there. Well, you let them call you Hispanic. See, they play games for divide and conquer. So that's what this is going on. But the McGurk versus Oklahoma for all of us. If you search your ancestry, folks, we don't got to go no farther. Because then right here, if you want to claim you know this got so-called Indian in you, that's what they call it. Then trace your ancestry right here, and you got rights right here. Just like they got rights. You got rights right here. You don't got to sign on to no treaty and be in no reservation, but you can stand up and proclaim who you are, and you got rights. They call unalienable, inalienable, or some people unalienable, inalienable. Rights. They're created from God. Yeah. So on the 4th of July, all black folks go out and dance and sing around, go get their cars whipped up and get on some fresh clothes for the 4th of July. Let's celebrate independence. July 4th, 1776. Woo, but what does that mean? They got their independence. From they broke away from their own their foremothers and forefathers, but they created a flag that's flying the same colors. And they said, hey, we got God-given rights that nobody can step on. And once those rights get trampled upon, everybody is free to self-governance. So what did they do? They proclaimed it to the world, put it on there, proclaimed it to the world, and claimed their sovereignty. So what's so hard about that to understand for us? And that's where you come in, brother. And that's what I wanted the people to understand today, status and jurisdiction. When they pull you over, they want to know who you are. They always ask, do you got some identification, registration, license or something? They want to know who you are. They trying to figure out a status because status determines jurisdiction. And when you pull out that ID that has any state seal on that, that shows what jurisdiction you awarded that state. That's my nigga right there. Yeah. Because you gave up your sovereign rights for a privilege at the Department of Motor Vehicles. And it says on there, your race, it says black, artificial person, U.S. citizen, so you under statutes and codes of commercial laws that dealing with corporations. And from there, I'm a rest back son, bro. And I seen what you sent me. I seen that, bro, what you sent me about the corporation thing. And I was like, man, the brother be going in and studying. I said, man, he be going in and studying, man, and that's deep because then you could pass on to other people stuff. You don't know by being told by somebody. You know by investigating yourself.
Yeah, they don't, these are one of the things that I'm going to be teaching and focusing on with the nonprofit that I'm starting. I'm going to really focus in on that right there. And get these people's identity straight, you know. Just get it straight, see, because a movement needs to start in that direction, you know. And I'm going to be the one to start that movement. You know, revolution just means change. So we're going to have a revolution because we need to change, you know.
Right.
And you ain't got to worry about, I always tell people all the time, I don't try to change anybody. What I do is I change, and then everything around me change.
No question about it.
I'm going to change what I do so that people can see.
No question about it.
They need to see what it is, because when you don't, the best tool that they use against black folks is ignorance. And ignorance only means lack of knowledge, not knowing. And that's what they use. That's their weapon, knowledge.
Right. No question about it.
Our situation here in this country, it only improved based on the knowledge we got. Because we ain't had no army. We ain't got none of that. We couldn't take them by force, so we took them by knowledge. That's why they say, my saying, knowledge is power. The more you know, the more you can do. If you know more, you do more. If you knew better, you do better, you know. And that's what it is, and that's how they keep their foot on our neck. It's a lack of knowledge, you know. Don't let them know. Don't tell them. Hide, you know. But it's there now. The information is there. I know it's there because every time you and I engage in a conversation, I go find it. I go now, find it, and I stay up on. And you got to kind of stay up on it. See, they keep us away from real knowledge. They don't want you to get that.
Oh,
so they discourage it. They teach, they send you in them public schools that represent public culture, and that's right there where they whiten up our people. That's where they brainwash them, right there in them schools. Them schools, you know, forced schooling came about from Rockefeller and Carnegie, $12 million to the government to have forced schooling so they could force people to go to school so they could manipulate the brains and the minds of the people right there. And that's what they did. That's why they have them sitting there for 8 hours a day. School's too long. They don't take them on field trips to let them see how things are really done. They don't do none of that stuff anymore. They get them in there. You know, they give them these all kinds of labels and special educations and this and that and so forth, so forth. And like when you spoke on the 4th of July, I call it the 4th of July, L-I-E, lie. You know,
right.
We, you know, just like how they, like you say, that was their independence from British, from the Europeans. They didn't want to be under that act anymore, you know.
Right.
So they started their own thing right here. And the treaty they got involved with was with the Moors, you know. So it's a lot of things there because they're never going to teach the truth because what is half a lie? Half a lie is what is half the truth? A whole lie.
A whole lie.
You know, half the truth is a whole lie. So
no
now,
doubt.
Like, I had never got into all the things that me and you discussed. Now I'm into it because I see what it is, but I'm conscious, you know. I'm open to all that. You know, if somebody telling me something, I know it's got to be written somewhere, so let me go find it. Somebody else is saying something about it. It ain't just you. It's just that, like that one I sent you on the United States Corporation. You know, that was a big thing right there. That was huge, that piece of information. You know, that, and we just got to chippy away at our people. We just got to chippy away at them. You know, at least we got this blog radio where we can just chippy and chippy and chippy. And I plan on building a foundation where I ain't going to do no chipping. They're going to come on in. They're going to want it. I'm going to make them want it. You know?
Yeah, no question about it.
You know, we're going to demonstrate. We're going to demonstrate, you know.
No question about it.
I always say, you know, what weighs the most, what somebody say or what somebody do. Of course what they do or what they've done. You know, so I liked all that information, especially that Oklahoma thing is very interesting. They have an uproar right now down there, man. I don't know.
No.
All them,
that's
all
an understatement.
The spook down there right
no,
now.
No. Let me, because we are listening. We don't know where they listening. How far and broad they listening? No, brother. They spooked all around all 50 states. That have implications. If any one of y'all wake up, you chasing ancestry and all that, looking all to Australia and Africa and all that. If any of y'all wake up and recognize that you from one of the five civilized tribes and understand what that means in conjunction with treaties with the European and what that means according to history, Aboriginal history here, do your research. Man, you'd be blessed. The prophet said, you're just plain old rich and don't even know it. That's a noble Jolly saying. You just plain old rich and don't even know it. But something important, what you just said, brother, because I was just doing some study and I be getting a lot of, like I said, I paid a lot of information from search engines and stuff on, you know, stuff dealing with stocks and stuff. And listen, it's billionaires being minted. Million, I'm talking about, man, listen, it's so ridiculous. Listen, it's hundreds of coins, not to get off the subject, just coins alone, not including stocks, man, that they just profiting off of. Listen, follow the money, right? In poker, I was telling my girl this analogy today. In poker, I don't play poker. I understand it. Listen, in poker, you were doing one or two things. Either you got it or you bluffing. Now, you can't bluff me if I see your hand. So they showing you their hand. You know that they're printing money at a larger rate, just trillions of dollars, giving it away. And you know it's not backed by nothing. So you know they're showing their hand. So when follow the money. Remember the Wizard of Oz, follow the money. Where is all the money being dumped? I'm watching it. They're dumping all the money into the stocks and in certain sectors of the stock dealing with green energy and 5G. That's what they're doing. They're stuffing all the money into cryptos. That's where all the money going because they ain't got nowhere for S for it to go. If the money gets to drop considerably in value. So they put into the future of that stuff to keep the people consumers, people have to buy in. But if you don't buy into the stocks companies, you will be hit out here in this society. but they out there. I'm talking about startups, little companies. I'm talking about stuff, bro, they making 26%, 100% a week. Man, listen, I put one coin, I looked up about two coins. Some stuff I didn't know nobody. The research, the surge in the two coins, like $175. I looked up a week later, the price was like $360. I had doubled. Oh, I took that out and found something else to go. I took the profit out, found something else to go. But I'm looking on the astronomical level that they're doing this. See, if you know this, like they said, you put $1,000 into investment right now, and any one of their investments that give you that, you're going to pull within the next 2 years about $45,000 out of it. So look at the type of game these people are.
Found one. I have to send you the information. I got up on one right now. It's so good right now. It's not even on the stock market right now. You got to go Bitcoin to buy it. I'm gonna shoot it to you. Let you see.
Right.
My boy put in 6 months ago. He put in $500. It's worth $10,000, and it's
right
at the beginning.
Right. That's how it be. Yeah.
I'm still doing the research on it, but I'm going to send you the information because, you know, we've been talking about the investing. And so like the stock market, a lot of people don't know about the stock market. I remember they had me kidnapped in one of them places, and I started studying the stock market. You know, the stock market, you know, their biggest commodity was slaves when they started. I think it started in 1893. They got Dow Jones. I think their first name is Edward Jones, and can't think of their names. But, you know, anytime you see, you know, any news outlet, they're going to show the stock market. Any newspaper, they're going to show the stock market. You know, it's a very important thing. And just like with us, they keep the average, our people out of even thinking about the stock market. You don't hear brothers talking about the stock market. Not in our neighborhoods. I know they had some black folks in they started investment club, right?
Right.
They all pooled their money together. I think it was about 20 of them, and they put their money together. And I read this in a book. I can't think of the name of the book. And anyway, they put their money together, right?
Right.
And they hit that stock market.
Right.
Each one of them today own a franchise.
Man, we could do
each
that right
one
now.
Of them today, oh, each one of them today.
Yeah.
When them 20 got together, owned 20 different franchises.
We could do that right now.
Millions of dollars.
Right.
And all they did was start investment club, put their money together, invested in that stock market, and now you wouldn't got you a McDonald's, you wouldn't got you a Burger King, you wouldn't got you a Taco Bell, you wouldn't got you a every one of them own a major franchise right now.
And just what you just said right now,
and got in that stock market.
And just what you just said right now, I want to say this live on national radio right now. 2 years from now, you guys are going to look back. And all you have to do, what you just said right now, five people put together a fund where y'all can invest right now, where you could put some five people put some money in every month right now to invest why it's down, why they're calling it down, to invest in the next generation of technology, green and 5G and the coin. Just for every month for the next year, you put a fund together, five of y'all. In 2 years, every one of y'all going to be multimillionaires. Guarantee. You could just see people around here zooming. You could see people around here worse than often it was because you're getting left behind. And you've been taught to believe that put into the stock market. Don't put into the – remember how they said everybody was scared of Bitcoin? And they just kept watching it. And by the time you get in, you missed the big – astronomical to even when you do get in, you're still scared because it's so high and the risk is so big now. Yeah.
Well, you know, I had a friend of mine and he got in on Netflix when they first went public, right?
Right.
When the stock first went public. I
think
he cashed out like 2 years ago for $4 million.
Right.
And he had thousands of dollars invested, maybe 20,000. But when he cashed it out, he cashed out for $4 million.
So listen. So right now, the same person, top person that predicted that call there, and some of the other calls that made people mega money. Them the kind of search engines I buy into and the people that I get information from to come out with monthly reports and annual reports. And, man, you go back and look at the numbers that they do, be astronomical. Man, astronomical.
It's sick. The numbers, yeah. The numbers that they got is sick numbers. It's just like, you know, most of our people, their investment has been invested by other people through their 401ks. They're not
right.
in control of those investments. They buy into those investments.
No, they're getting stiffened.
And their 401ks ain't nothing but buying stock. That's
right.
All they do. They get your portfolio. That company that you got your 401k with is
right.
investing that money.
No question about
the
it.
Stock market.
They eating.
So,
you're
so
getting a little bit.
It's very important. It's very important for us to learn this aspect of income. You know, like you say, follow the money. If one thing white folks do good is get money.
So what do then, folks? This is what you do, folks. They stimulate in the economy.
Yeah, they do it. They do it just like Malcolm say, by any means necessary. One of them, I think it was a movie star or something. They just caught him up in a $690 million Ponzi scheme. He'd been beating people for the longest. Yeah, $690 million. He beat them folks out of. Mm-hmm.
So this is what people got to understand. They're stimulating the economy with trash. What are you going to do with the trash? You go take it and go buy bags and all that type of stuff, or go just to eat. Most that's what they're going to do. If you take that and reinvest it, they putting all their trash into the stocks and the coins. Follow the money.
Oh yeah.
Put your stimulus. Oh, if they're giving you a constant flow of stimulus, stimulate it into that. And in the next 3, 6 months, 9 months, a year. Man, you'll be well off.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I told you, I studied the whole stock. It's Charles and Edward, 1893. Matter of fact, it was a black woman that owned that land where you see that bull in New York. She owned that land. They digged up that land years ago and found slaves under there, man, and everything right there where the bull is. And I remember going down to New York right after 9/11. I had went down there, you know, that's when I was doing the clothes, right?
Right.
And I went down to New York, and they don't want us to know about that, them investors. That's one of the things that we got on the nonprofit too, and it's called money, you know, money.
Right.
So I plan on starting some investing club, teaching kids how to invest. And so, and Dr. Boyce Watkins, he's pretty cool. He makes sense on a lot of things. I follow him because he's a money guy, you know. He understands that stock market. So I think he got a PhD or something in money, you know, how to get money, economics, and so forth, so forth. He's the only one I know, the voice for black folks with it. You know, he's trying to press the issue, you know, and getting us to get involved in his stocks. And he's talking the same thing we talking right now. So he's a good guy to listen to. I follow him all the time, you know, see what he's talking about when it comes to money. That other rhetoric, I don't even want to hear that because, you know, they don't. Sometimes I'll be watching a lot of our people, and like, I just look for the good points. I don't look for the bad points, you know. So don't say you don't like somebody because of this and this and this and this. Let's see what we like about them. Let's see what good information they got. You know what I'm saying? That's what you got to look at. What's the information? You know, we always got a tendency to find fault, and we roll with the fault instead of the greatness. You know, find greatness, you're gonna find it in your people. You don't gotta look nowhere. We the greatest and the latest.
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've been here. So according to Congress, in this case, according to Congress, this is the most important thing y'all need to understand and listen to, this language. According to Congress, in their opinion, they said that the Supreme Court decision, the government. The Supreme Court. But they're giving you the language of what Congress implemented for the remember, the Congress only one can grant authority. The corporation, right? That's it. Congress. So if it ain't coming through Congress, then they can't have no authorization, which is authorized through the Constitution. It says the government further promised that no state or territory shall ever have a right to pass laws for the government of such Indians, but they should be allowed to govern themselves. So that's what you need to understand about this self-governance. They always want to tell you as soon as you hear something, that means sovereignty. They always want to tell you.
Govern yourself.
Yeah, self, that's sovereignty. And every time they hear that, oh, that's the sovereign people. Who not self-governance? Hell, you from your own nation of people. When you run around and try to be in the hood, you saying you sovereign, you your own nation, your own hood. You feel me? This on a bigger level right here. You feel me? That's what you need to stand up and do. You need to stand up and be who you is, because when they say that Creek Nation, that's broad. That's broad. You feel me? That's broad under there now, brother, because that's dealing with the five civilized tribes. That's dealing with Cherokee, Choctaw.
The five civilized tribes, they intermingled with the Africans. And they had, and what they did was when they signed that Indian Act, white folks were saying they was Indians. Everybody was trying to say they was Indians, trying to get that money. And they was actually trying to exclude us from get that money and saying we the original people here. They was trying to exclude us that. Them five tribes, because them five tribes had slaves too. And when they did that treaty with them white folks, the thing was you got to abolish slavery too. They told the five tribes, but the five tribes didn't do it. They kept them Africans, you know. And like you say, all you got to do is run your test. Cause my mom, I was telling my mom about it, cause my mom is from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
How you think some people down there in Oklahoma when they had the Black Wall Street was getting all that money doing all the things down there like that? That's an example right there, you know.
Yeah.
And them cinemas in Florida, them folks down, our people was down there in Florida, you know, and our people was down there. If you was enslaved, you could go down there because they had created their own nation, their own everything, and all that. So the white folk couldn't even come in there and get the people. That's documented too. That was down in Florida. But I've been looking at that case. I clicked on that thing, man. That's a serious issue right there. That's a big time issue right there.
Yeah.
Big time issue. You know, anytime the white folk got to let you out of jail because we didn't have jurisdiction to charge you, cry you, take you to court for nothing.
Yeah, been kidnapped.
We didn't have no jurisdiction over there. We couldn't do nothing now. Now the federal courts are scrambling, trying to charge these people through the federal system because they was illegally charging them through the white court system, you know, the state court system. So that thing there, man. And look, they quietly put in that. You don't see that on all the news stations. You don't see that. You're not seeing that because they don't want you to know that. I haven't found it on one news outlet. I found it, you know, going through the internet and everything, but no news outlet. I seen it once. If you have to go to Oklahoma and look at their news station, and you'll see all the information. But it never went nationwide because, like you say, they don't want you to know that we are part of that. That's why.
No question about it. Yeah, and that's the whole thing.
They don't want us to know. But if you think what we're talking about is some BS, go on the internet and look up the news and see what they're talking about in Oklahoma.
And that's how we're suffering.
That's what's going on right now.
And that's how we're suffering because, listen, we're suffering clinically. And these people know it. You know, they clinical people know that we suffer from PTSD. But, you know, the sister, what's the sister name? She the one that was the PTSS, the thing. Post-traumatic.
Dr. Joy,
yeah. I was telling the psychologist. Yeah, so when you, anybody who's been institutionalized, if you've been institutionalized and you've ever been to a drug rehabilitation program, you have been clinically diagnosed with PTSD. But they don't tell you that. So you have, that's something that was found out. They don't tell you that. That means to go to show you that they already know that, and they use that for funding purposes, but they already know as society that we up. They already know that. That's why we're more susceptible to diseases and stuff like that, shit that's going on in the world, because we so broke down on so many levels. You feel me? We broke down, man, on so many levels, whether it's spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, we broke down, and that's something that we're going to have to build up resistance. by getting new information, like you said, changing the literature, having different forms, and understanding that the stuff we've been digesting in our bodies, spiritually and mentally, physically, is not good. It's been no good for us. It's been like we try to call. We try to turn everything to good. We talk about this soul food. Soul food make you say assalamu alaikum or alhamdulillah or amen or hallelujah. Yeah, that's soul food. Somebody give you some good gospel, some good news. Soul food ain't something that causes you cancer, clogs up your veins and your pores, your arteries. That's not soul food. That's a slave food. That's slave diet that we eat in. Yeah. We try to make everything good. Oh, we survived. Man, yeah, we did that then. When you was old mind and you had to survive that way, it was okay. But now it's a new era now. You got to do things different now. You got to do no better to do better. Hell, eating slave food and think you'll grow and be better. Your body will be better. We dying out here. We dying out here, bro.
That's why they created the fast food.
Yeah.
So they can kill you.
Die
faster.
Fast. Eat fast, die fast.
That's why they got the fast food, so they can kill you faster.
Yeah. It's all in your community. Concentrate. Heavily concentrated fast foods on your side of the tracks.
Why you think they took the cuisine away from the people? They took their food away from them so they can give them a different type of diet. That's why.
So we read the books. We read the books. So equate to the so for the Christian book. So when Daniel was thrown into jail, when Daniel and his brothers were thrown into jail, they wasn't trying to eat the garbage. What they was eating of the king's dainty. Daniel like, let me get some vegetables and some water. And then the little head Negro or whoever was back there running it, he wasn't trying to go for that because he wasn't trying to get his head off. And he let them know that, man, check us out and see how we look. And sure enough, after some days when they checked out, their countenance was more finer and brighter than everybody else's. They was giving you signs and symbols there, but here we go. Oh, the Old Testament don't mean nothing. We're going to go out with the new. Yeah, old law don't mean nothing. We ain't the new, man. So you got somebody breaking down something for you and feeding it to you a way that's different than what it's supposed to be meant. Man, we got dietary laws, dress codes. Yeah, we got all that. That's why we suffering. Yeah, we in violation. We not honoring our mothers and our fathers. We not honoring our mother, our father, Allah, and our mother Earth. We not honoring our mother and our father, our ancestors, and what they taught us. We don't have a nationality, our creed, following away to strangers. You feel me? It's just we messed up. Of course we're going to be doomed and cursed and at the bottom rung. We don't know identity. We suffer identity crisis. Man. Pharaoh, let my people go. Yeah, Pharaoh, let my people go. But Pharaoh ain't going to let them go. You see what he had to do, people. You see what happened in the Bible. You see what happened. He had to keep putting plagues on him, keep putting plagues on him. He had to go turn. Pharaoh not going to change. Pharaoh not going to change. You got to just split that sea and go just drown in the water. But you got to understand what all that means. You feel me? Do you want to drown with him? Yeah, you going to pick up her way and come out of her.
I think one of the things, like I was studying the Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
And so when I ask most people that believe in Christianity, I say, hey, man, can you tell me what the Ten Commandments are? And most of the people I asked, they couldn't remember what the Ten Commandments were. So if you study the Ten Commandments, you're going to look at where eight of the Ten Commandments starts off with what? Thou shall not. Thou shall not. Thou shall not. So God put emphasis on what you shouldn't do, not what you should do. See, we're always chasing what we should do. But you know what I chase? What I shouldn't do. Because some of the things I do, I shouldn't do. You know, thou shalt not. It always leads me back to that. So what I work on is the knots in my life. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be doing that. And every time I eliminate what I shouldn't do, I'm able to do something else. But I got to stop doing something before I can go do something because I didn't have it right.
But you see what you keep doing. I understand exactly, and I hope the audience understood what you just said because I want you to reiterate that again because you kept using the right word. See, they changed the word and don't see. They got them commandments from somewhere else. It preceded that, what they got. They interjected thou, meaning pointing to somebody else while they doing. See, you kept saying the right word, and I want you to reiterate it. You keep saying I. You kept saying I. I just was listening to you. You just kept saying I. See, you was dealing with the self. See, that's what the Ten Commandments was dealing with. I shall not. So it was keeping that person accountable. I shall not murder. I shall not do this. You feel me? When they changed it to thou, you was looking outside of yourself. They pointing at everybody else. You thou shall not. And but doing all kinds of stuff. No, the I self. I am master. Islam, peace. Yes, sir. So I like that you were saying that. It's all about language. And we got to start understanding to protect ourselves with language. And that's what the Moors taught me. They wouldn't let me just talk and say something. So, excuse me, Mo, what did you just say? Say that again and make you say it right or understand what you're saying. You got to understand what we're saying stuff. And that's why we're saying, like, so-called black. Understand, we understand that, black. But that's what it is, so-called black. The black Muslims used to say that back in the day. The so-called black man, you feel me? Because that's what somebody else calling us. We got to stop calling ourselves that. So it's easy. Interjected in there, yeah, so-called black man, you feel me? Because that's what they're calling us. And the implications
of that. What Elijah Muhammad did when he used that terminology, what he was saying was, you know, when he demonized the white man, which he did the right thing, they're the devil. And so what he did was he said they the devil because at that particular time, it's still a day. Look how they treated the people like they was the devil. So he knew if I could get my people to know that these folks act like devils, these folks is devils, then they won't eat their food. They won't do nothing like the devil do. So that's why he demonized them. So they don't do nothing like they do. He said, we'll get our own diet. We got bean pie. We got fish. We'll produce our own food. And we'll eat more healthier. We eat one time a day. You know, we're overeaters. Americans teach you to be the overeaters, and they give you a sugar diet because they want to kill you. So what they do is when you eat breakfast, do you know that food that you ate at breakfast have not digested? You won't poop that out until another day or so. So what happens is you build a time zone in your body, and your body tell you it's hungry because you didn't be eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's overeating because the food you put the food on top of that food that ain't even digested, and you wonder what's wrong with you, and then come 7, 8 o'clock, you're eating again. You got too much poison in your stomach. All that stuff's poison right there. You don't give your cells in your body. That's why we fast in Ramadan, to give our cells that actually clean up your vital organ a chance to work, because the only thing they get to work at is that garbage you put in your stomach. You need to, when I eat, brother, I eat enough just to take however the hunger I'm feeling in me. I eat just enough to get that off. First of all, we don't chew our food. We don't even eat properly as a people. We don't even eat properly. Why do you think you got teeth? To chew that damn food. You understand? So the whole, that's why we, that high blood. And then when you get old and go to the doctor, the first thing he tell you, stop eating pork, you know. First thing he tell you, stop eating that pork, you know. You know. We really have a diet of vegetables and all the good they eyes. They don't, you know, when you feed your body, you don't feed your body based on what you like to eat. You feed your body. You can't put water in a gas can in your car. You can't go out there and take your hose and say, maybe this might work, and put water in your gas tank. What's going to happen to that car? You put water in there. That water don't work. It's going to tear your car up. You understand? Because it calls for gasoline, you know. So it's just like us. Our body calls for a certain type of diet. And if you don't get that certain type of diet, then you're killing yourself. And that's what it is when it comes to food and diet. They got us on, like I say, we're on that slave diet. And the only reason that we eat that stuff is because the white folks love that pig. So what they do is they used to take the feet the head and the guts and the tail and cut it off, and they roast the rest and they discharge that other stuff, and they wasn't feeding them. They wasn't feeding them people in the slave quarters nothing. You know, they give them a piece of bacon and some cornmeal. That's why we would go out there and fish and catch deer and rabbits and all that type of stuff. You know, so what they would do would take them. They take them feet. And they take them tails, and they take all that stuff, and they make a meal out of it, you know, because the people was hungry, you know. They wasn't feeding and working them all day. So that's where that diet come from. That's where the religion come from. That's where the thinking come from, you know, and that's where that PTSD come from. Everything come from that institution, you know, that the act they had us under, you know. And we still ain't broke the cycle of a lot of that right now. We still live and act like slaves. That's the truth, brother. Because I was caught up living and acting like one until I became conscious. I sure was. I was a slave to everything they put out there. You know, looking for my 15 minutes of fame, and it was shame. Now when I look back at it, it was shame. It wasn't no fame. That was shame. You there? Cut off. Suleiman.